Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we want to wrap up our study of verse 20 of Colossians chapter 1 on the broadcast today, if at all possible, and I really think we should be able to do that. This is, you recall, the last verse in Paul's great hymn of praise to Christ, which to many Bible students, Bible commentators, believe this is the last verse of his prayer for the Colossian church, but some would separate the hymn from the prayer. So whichever way you look at it, it is the conclusion of an important section. And this final verse says this, "And by him," speaking of Christ, of course, "and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Now, we are working on that reference to peace as our final consideration of the text. What we have seen already in the text and previous broadcasts is that it speaks, number one, of the need for reconciliation. Why must Christ reconcile us to God? Because of sin. Number two, the scope of reconciliation. What is included in this area of need for reconciliation? All things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. It's an interesting concept. I don't want to keep going back to it, but it's an interesting concept. We know that sinners are in need of salvation, but what this teaches us is that the whole created order is in need of reconciliation. Not exactly salvation, but Paul deals with this in Romans chapter 8, how that creation groans under the curse and is waiting the redemption, the final redemption that will come to the people of God, which when God's people are fully and finally redeemed at the second coming of Christ, the whole universe is also going to be reconciled back to God and released from their bondage, namely the bondage of the curse. So Christ's death on the cross has a saving effect for fallen sinners, for people. It has a curse-lifting effect for the rest of creation. Very interesting, the scope of reconciliation, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Thirdly, we have noted the way of reconciliation, which is the cross work of Christ, stated here in terms of by him having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's the way that reconciliation is accomplished. There is no other way, but there is this way, provided by God himself, designed by God himself. And finally, the results of reconciliation, having made peace. Peace as opposed to war. Peace as opposed to alienation. We are alienated from God. Peace, which makes us friends and more than friends, makes us sons and daughters of God, as opposed to being enemies of God. This is peace, not in the subjective, but in the objective sense. And it just occurred to me that as I have already started into my teaching time today, I failed to welcome you to this Friday, January 22 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your financial gifts, which makes the continued airing of this broadcast possible. Peace, in the objective sense, not the subjective sense. I said it yesterday, I think I said it the day before, but we're not talking about a feeling. I feel like I'm at peace with God. I feel that I have peace with God. I have a peaceful feeling when I think about my relationship with God. That may be based upon the crosswork of Christ, if you understand it, and are trusting in Christ. That may be based upon fallacy and misinformation, and it may be an utter deception. But this really has nothing to do with the way you feel. It has everything to do with what Christ did on the cross for those who trust in him, namely, removed the reason for the enmity, which was our sins, the guilt of our sins, and the just punishment for our sins that must come upon the sinner. But Christ took that upon himself and freed us, therefore, to be reconciled to God. We couldn't be apart from that. I keep going back to this, but it's so critical. In this day and time, there seems to be so little understanding of the simple, basic gospel, even among Christians. It's really a puzzling thing in many ways. But what is the gospel all about? It is about removing this sin. We could call it a sin barrier. It has become a barrier between us and God and made a right relationship with God impossible. It is removing the guilt of our sins. It is removing the judgment for our sins. It is removing the punishment for our sins. It is removing God's just wrath toward us because of our sins. I mean, all of these things are true statements. And once that is dealt with, when the sin issue is dealt with and it is no longer an issue between me and God, I am at peace with God. I have peace. Christ is my peace. As Paul puts it in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, brought them together in one body, Christ. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He is our peace. Christ did it. Only Christ could do it. And so when relationships are right, then feelings, right feelings, will follow eventually, hopefully. They will follow when an understanding of what Christ has done for us and our relationship to God through Christ becomes clear. When we understand it, then we will have peace in our hearts, in our feelings, in our subjective sense. We will then have peace with God. We will feel at peace with God, and rightly so, not erroneously so. But that follows. There's first the objective side, where Christ deals with the cause of our lack of peace, with the cause of the impossibility of our having peace, which is why it is foolish for one who is not in Christ, who does not understand the gospel, who is not believing in Christ. It is foolish for such a one to think that he has peace with God simply because his feelings toward God are not out of kilter. He doesn't feel fear, but he should, and he would if he really understood the situation. He doesn't feel alienated, but he should and would if he really understood the true situation. He doesn't feel the wrath of God directed toward him, but he should and would if he understood the true situation. But when our sins are dealt with on the cross of Christ, when he has nailed the offenses that we committed against God to his cross, and God dealt with them in his Son on the cross, then we have peace with God, and right feelings follow. And so now the results of reconciliation are applied to the believing sinner. He is justified before the judgment bar of God. He has a restored relationship with his Creator. He is no more at enmity with God. He is now a son of God. His fellowship has been restored to God as it was with Adam before he sinned in the Garden of Eden. But this also has application to the physical universe. Christ's death upon the cross ensures that someday the whole universe shall be released from the curse that rests upon it. Christ's cross brings about that reconciliation, and all of creation awaits the final consummation when this curse will be lifted. You'll read about it in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and following. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So this cross work of Christ is applied to the believing sinner to bring about his reconciliation to God. This cross work of Christ has been applied and will be ultimately and finally applied to the physical universe to release it from the curse under which it is now there. And there is a sense in which it will be applied to the unbelieving sinner and fallen angels. And am I talking about universalism, that everybody ultimately is going to be saved? No. But peace can be achieved in two ways. Either by the removal of hostilities, that's dealing with our sin, or by the subjection of enemies through superior force and judgment. How was peace achieved, say, in World War II? Was it because the parties just decided that they had had enough fighting and they would just stop fighting and pledge themselves to peace? Nope. It only came about by grinding enemies into unwilling subjection. And there was reconciliation by subjection. It was the dropping of that awful atomic bomb that actually brought the conclusion of World War II in the Pacific. And that's the only way that it was achieved. The enemy was determined never to surrender, but a superior force forced him to. And you see, even unbelievers are going to be reconciled to God in that sense. Not to their salvation. It will be to their eternal condemnation, but the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that subjection was secured by his cross. That's part of the reconciliation which he achieved. He brought about the final reconciliation of everything in the created order to God, some savingly, willingly, gladly surrendering obedience and submission to the Lordship of Christ and to the authority of Almighty God, and others who will be ground into submission in the final day. Well, until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.